And now for reading and writing and radio.
The day my father packed and left was an ordinary summer afternoon. No miracles or flying saucers, just one sullen man and one dewy-eyed woman gazing unbelievingly at two ominous suitcases near the door. Harsh words fell like raindrops, creating ugly puddles of muddy words everywhere. A thin gold key was all my father left behind, an empty place at the table, one less toothbrush, and many hints of his absence. No miracles or flying saucers. Nothing to make him return.
That story was written by Lisa Mannion, who was in Mrs. Lowe's ninth grade class last year at Grant Middle School in Springfield. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
I've thought about having a reading and writing and radio program on divorce for a long time, but I've held back because it's such a painful topic. However, I don't want to be afraid of painful topics, nor for you to be either. I feel very strongly that it's good to be able to write to communicate on all topics, be they painful or happy, sad, glad, or mad, to know that there's no subject so hush-hush or terrible that we, as living, caring, sharing human beings, can't speak or write about it. So over Reading, Writing, and Radio, we've had hard programs to let you know, to give you the chance to speak out, to know it's okay, that it's more than okay. And I've found personally, and a lot of my students have told me this too, that the more painful the topic is, the more it helps to write or to speak about it. And of course, there's other ways of expressing too, acting it out in movement or drama or all sorts of ways, but to express it, to have some sort of expression. Then it's not so much of a volcano inside of you that might explode, or a long festering sore that might poison you. It helps. So we've had programs where I've encouraged you to write about fears, hates, death, miseries, anger, loneliness. And now and again, papers have come in on divorce, not even asked for, and not necessarily on the painful or the hard topics. For instance, Lisa's poem that I read as an opener and again at the start was in response to the program Songs for Special Occasions, and most of the songs that came in were lighthearted. In every classroom listening, some of you will have divorced parents. Some of you will have step-parents, sometimes not. Some of you are in the midst of a divorce. Some of you are fearful that there might be one in your family. And possibly some of you are even hoping that there will be a divorce, because things could only get better. They're so bad the way they are now. Some of your teachers are divorced, and I encourage you teachers, divorced or not, to write on this hard topic. In recent years, divorce has mushroomed. I'm not going to give you any statistics, but there isn't one of us that hasn't been affected in our own families, or with our relatives, or with our close friends. It's a painful topic for me. Several years ago, I wrote a poem similar to Lisa's, but from the wife's point of view instead of the daughter's. The empty space that was left behind when Bob, who's my former husband, departed with all his books and clothes and, well, his ways, or maybe I should say our ways together, for things had certainly been going downhill with us for a while, and our ways weren't very good or happy for anybody. I'll read you that poem so that I'm sharing. I don't ever want to ask you to write or share on a topic that I'm not willing to share myself. It doesn't have any title. So you're gone, with your bookcases and books and surplus and stoles, your what is phonology, your psychotheology, and your Rembrandt head of Christ celebrating mannerism or chiaroscuro or something I can't check the spelling of because the dictionary's gone. And today I cleaned vomit from a sink, along with all the hair from countless shampoos wreathed around the plug. That's why it didn't go down, the vomit. And took a temperature, and watered a guinea pig, and carried a bicycle with locked gears to the repair shop, and telephoned about mini basketball, located 3 overdue library books and a driver's license under the toothpaste, picked up viola music at Ackerman's on approval. Oh yes, made a stew, cleaned off my desk, got my grades in, and swept out your echoing study. I think the feelings in that poem are mixed. There is mingled regret, there is relief, there is an emptiness, but mainly, the point was that life goes on, that it's not the end of the world, and I don't think that it's an angry poem, because I really was glad to be left with the broken bicycle and the guinea pigs and the sick kids, because to me, that's where life is. It's not with the things that he took with him. I did write angry poems and rage poems and hurt feelings poems, too. Lisa says in hers, harsh words making ugly puddles. And I have my ugly puddles. And I'll read one of them, too, to share, because I believe that angry thoughts are acceptable. You accept mine, I accept yours. And sometimes it helps to write them down, even if all we do is to tear them up afterwards. Here's one of my anger poems. His words are like boxing gloves, punching me in all my soft places. There is lots of ugliness in many divorces, and also in many life situations where there isn't a divorce. Every person, grown up or kid, has moments of being irritable and unreasonable and hard to live with. Sometimes these are pretty long moments. People fight, sometimes with noise and blows, and sometimes with silence. There are many ways and many tensions. Here's a paper that came in last season about parents fighting. I'll make it anonymous, though the person did sign her name. I was in the kitchen doing my homework, and my dad and mom were having a fight, and they would not shut up, so I went in my room to do my homework. And then they came in my room and started to fight again. So I sneaked in their room to do my homework, and they came in and started to fight again. So I called up my best friend, and I asked her if I could go to her house and do homework. And when I got there, the fighting started with her mom and dad. So I got an F on my test because I was studying about it, and I never got done with it. This recipe for a broken family came in from the recipe program. Louis Thompson wrote this, who's in the 7th grade. He didn't give his school, but the teacher is Sister Stella Marie, and it's in Springfield. Broken family. One family, one mangy mutt, 7 spoiled brats, 50 overdue bills, 1 screaming mother, 1 grouchy father. Optional, 2 cotton balls and a board. Mix well family, mutt, brats, bills, father, and mother. The cotton balls to keep you from breaking eardrums. Use board in case of talkbacks from brats. Louis doesn't give the result, but since it's a recipe for broken family, I think that, after you mix it all and stick it in the oven, why, that's what you come out with. And that is one way of expressing a certain kind of unhappiness. We got one in that was very miserable several years ago from up in Wisconsin, where they also use this reading and writing and radio program. This one does involve divorce, and it's very vivid, very long, detailed. It spells out the difficulties between the boy's parents, how upset and distraught they were, how the mother even attempted suicide, and the father, in trying to prevent her, fell on the ice and broke the stitches from a recent operation. We didn't read it then, and I shan't now, but it was a beautifully clear piece of writing, and I know in my bones that it did that boy good to write it down. He finishes, "When the sheriff arrived, Dad was loading his car with his clothes. He was leaving. Finally, he left, and last Tuesday, Mom went down and filed for divorce and paid for half of it. I am going to spend the weekend with my dad tonight after school." That boy was hurting then. He was hurting bad. I hope now that several years later that his life has swung back to some fun and joy, and I'm glad that we gave him the chance to write out his feelings. Here's a briefie. We recently received it from Monica Watts, who's in the third grade of Mrs. Thompson's class at Our Savior's in Jacksonville, Illinois. "One day soon, Mother is going to get a divorce, and that's my terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day." And last year we had two from the Alone program, when I discussed the difference between loneliness and solitude and being alone. And I'd like to share these. One of these we read last year. It tells some of the problems that John McCann, who was in Janice Spears' fifth grade at Auburn, had had. And I'd like to talk about his first line for a second. He says, "When my dad and mother got a divorce, I felt lonely, not for Dad, but for a dad." Now, John is being very truthful. I don't know anything about his dad. But it's true that there are some people that we don't really miss. Sometimes it's because that certain person hasn't been around for a long time, so we've gotten used to not having that person around, or who perhaps didn't pay much attention to us when he or she was around. Or let's face it, there are people that are sometimes so cruel or mean or thoughtless or make snide remarks or make us feel unwanted or, well, I could go on and on. All of us behave that way once in a while. And then, too, there are people who are ill with all sorts of things, alcoholism, for instance, who behave very badly toward everybody, especially the people that they're close to. And sometimes it is a relief when that person goes. Anyway, for whatever the reason, John says, "When my dad and mother got a divorce, I felt lonely, not for Dad, but for a dad. I'm a scout, and there are projects for a scout and dad, but I don't have a dad, so I had to miss out. My mother did her best. She bought scout supplies and stuff, and that's why I respect her. My scout leader helped me with my Pinewood Derby car, and since then, we did badges together, so Mom did not have to worry about me. But when Cub Dad weekend came up, I was really lonely. You see, it was for Dad and Cub. They spend a weekend at camp. My den leader told me he would fix me up with one of the boys, but I didn't want to cause extra problems, so I didn't go. Now my mom has a boyfriend, and he helps me, so I'm not so lonely anymore." And the other one that came from the Alone program is from David Impastato, who is in Mrs. Flynn's third grade at West School in Taylorville. "One day when I got home from school and went to my grandmother's house, my mom said that my dad would not be living with us anymore. So I ran in my room and I climbed in my closet and started crying. I never ate supper. Then my mom said, 'Do you want to come to the store?' I said, 'Yes.' So I went, and my mom said, 'Do you want something?' And I said I would, but I was still sad." David is hurting there on that paper, and I'm sure that his mother hurt too, and I dare say that the father did. I haven't asked my own children for any writing for this program because it is still a subject that we can't talk about very openly in our family. The scars are not all healed, and I'm not sure they ever will be. I expect in a few more years we may be able to talk more. I do know that they've all written things, and one thing that I have that I can read, I picked up from the floor right after our break came, the day that my youngest daughter heard. She was 7. She'd written a letter to her beloved Uncle Bill. "Dear Uncle Bill, how are you? I am fine. What are you doing? I am sitting on the hearth of the Dells' cottage with a fire going, writing this letter. And then she has two whole lines of crying words, which would sound funny if I read them, so I won't. And she finishes, Ma and Pa are getting, and then she has about 10 dots and says, divorced, in big letters. She never finished nor sent that letter to Uncle Bill. It served its purpose. She got the first shock off her chest to somebody that she loved and trusted. I picked it up, and I showed it to her Uncle Bill the next time that I saw him, and then I saved it for her for some future day. I have one more anonymous writing to read to you that came in on divorce. It was in response a year or so ago to the program on hellish situations. He went down to OO, we called it. And this third grader wrote this following account. I think the worst thing that ever happened was when my mom and dad said that they were going to get a divorce. They sat me down on the couch and cried all the time we were talking to me. Of course, I cried too. I think it was even worse when my dad moved so close. I didn't believe it. And when I go to bed, I sometimes have dreams about that horrible day. My mom has to give me cold cloths to cool me down and give me aspirin. I think I'm in hell and I have to sleep with my mom. And now my dad is living about 30 miles away, and he comes every weekend to see us. And my brother is only 4, and he was 2 when that tragic experience happened, and still doesn't understand it. I said that I didn't ask my own children to write anything about divorce, but I did ask a former Iliopolis student, Andy Dever, whom we've read on this program before. Andy's now in 5th grade and living in northern Illinois, and she was willing to write something for all of you about divorce. Here's her letter. Divorce is a very common thing to happen to a family. If your parents have had one, you know that you have to be very cooperative. Your parents are going through a very hard time. You may also have a hard time. For instance, trying to explain to your friends that your parents didn't get a divorce because they would fight and couldn't get along, but because they were just not meant for each other anymore, but yet they were still friends. After your parents told you they were getting a divorce, you probably felt very mad at them. You asked yourself why it had to happen to you. Try not to feel this way. Your parents are doing this for their sake and also for your sake. But look on the bright side. If you ever get to visit your father or mother, it's like having 2 homes. You also get one extra present on Christmas and your birthday. I was reading a book about a girl whose parents had gotten a divorce. Maybe you've heard or read this book. The title of it is It's Not the End of the World, a paperback by Judy Bloom. The book mentioned another book called The Boys and Girls Book About Divorce by Richard Gardner, M.D. If you have any questions on divorce, this is a good book to get. So I thank you, Andy, for sending us that letter, and I have 2 things to say about it. Yes, all divorces aren't lots of fighting. Parents can end up friends. It isn't always the case, and I think, though, that it always is the case, even if there isn't fighting, that there is tension, and that these tensions are as hard often as the fighting. And also, Andy, you bring us to books. And I would like to say that there are many, many books being published right now that are about divorce, and we have some for very little kids, like Where is Daddy by Beth Goff, to the age of most of you that are living, are listening to this program, the Judy Bloom book that Andy mentions and the Boys and Girls book about divorce, which is an actual book that you can take out of the library, to books for considerably older kids. My Dad Lives in a Downtown Hotel is for most of you that are listening, and Matt Gargan's Boy, but Is That You, Miss Blue? Would be for teenagers. And my problem, however, with divorce books is that on the whole, they're too shallow. They don't tell it like it is. The parents are usually in the books too nice people who just can't get along, and this may often be true, as in Andy's case, and I'm not saying it's not, but I think there ought to be a balance of the unhappiness that goes along. I know myself that I am not always nice, and I know other people well enough that they are not always nice. And there are often reasons or non-reasons besides just not being able to get along. I've listed most of these books in the manual, And I'd like you to remember, if you read any of these divorce books, that it won't be just like your case. For every divorce is unique, just like every marriage is, every parent is, every child is. The relationship that you have with your mother or with your father is a different relationship than your mother has, say, with a sister, or your father with that same sister. Maybe each of them are just as good, but they're different because you are different people. These divorce books may not help you, or they may not reflect your own exact experiences. They didn't mine or my kids. But these books will tell you two things: that you're not alone, that a lot of kids are going through this, and that it's not the end of the world. So for our writing today, those of you who haven't been through a divorce or are in the midst of one, write us your thoughts on the topic. And for those of you who have been or who are in the midst of one or who think you are about to be, since this is such a painful topic, be sure that you write only if you want to. Don't if you don't feel like it. But I hope that you will give it a try. Send in your writing if you want. Be anonymous if you want to be. Don't sign your name. Or tell us if it's okay to share your paper, as Andy told us that it was, for that sharing may help other kids. And if you've been through a divorce and are now able to look back on it, maybe you have some thoughts or advice that will help other kids. Maybe you'd write a letter about your experience. Divorce is hard, but my divorce had its funny moments, wryly funny, I'll grant you. Even for the kids, maybe you'd want to write about one of those moments. Or maybe things are better now. Maybe you like your parents better when they're not together. Divorce has changed your life. Write us about those changes. Whatever you write, see if you can be as honest as John and Lisa and Andy, for that's the best way that we can help ourselves and others in all these difficult life situations that we go through. And we'll know from your writing that we're not alone and that it's not the end of the world.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.